and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I was right. June is going to kill me. And it's only, as I see by my paper calendar, June 6th.
Yep.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal Show website. Thank you, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Carborough. Woohoo! Okay. I've had a weekend. You can read all about it up at StephanieMiller.com and SexyLiberal.com. I got to do my Carol Channing impression to Carol Channing on Friday.
Did you really?
She did not enjoy it.
I can't imagine she would.
No. I don't shall get it all. Well.
Oh, yeah. No.
Awkward.
You didn't.
All right.
That's going to haunt you.
And then Sexy Liberal, ladies and gentlemen, what a night in Raleigh, Durham. You can go check out all the reaction and pictures and stuff up at SexyLiberal.com. Sexy Liberal on Facebook as well. Mike was there, Mike and Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
Our buddy Mike and Raleigh.
Yes, he's the one who's been sending all of those parodies as of late.
He's hilarious.
Yes.
Steph, I have one thing to say, seeing the Sexy Liberal show Saturday at the Durham Performing Arts Center. John Stewart, Bill Maher, Ricky Gervais, who the...
Gervais.
Are they?
Gervais.
Yeah, whatever. See, exactly. He doesn't even know who he is. I don't even know who he is. I'm writing HBO to get my money back from 30 years of comedy special. Thanks, Mike and Raleigh. Well, thank you, Mike. Isn't that delightful? Next, by the way, then I've got a bunch of, what do you call it, emails from Minneapolis.
Yes.
Which is coming up next, ladies and gentlemen. Hurry, hurry. June 18th. That's in the week from Saturday.
Yes.
At the State Theater. Hurry. The tickets are, I believe, going very, very quickly. And also, apparently got in the Minneapolis paper. There's going to be a couple of Broadway producers there. They're talking about bringing it to Broadway.
What? Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of
Broadway. That's right.
So you come crawling back to Broadway. Mm. Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get out of my way, because I've got a man waiting
all
for
right.
me.
Not that part, but anyway.
Really?
Yes, Max Bialystock apparently is going to be there.
Really?
I don't know. It was in the Minneapolis.
Are you going to oversell the shares and just bilk a lot of old people out of money?
Yes, that's clearly what this Sexy Liberal scam is all about. All right, and the other big news, Santa Fe sold out, ladies and gentlemen, in 6 days, over the weekend, for August 6th.
That's something Santa Fe has in common with Los Angeles.
Uh-huh. I'm going to, and Seattle.
And Seattle.
I'm going to guess that it's because there's a lot of naked pictures of Aisha Tyler around it. And I, you know what, I shamelessly plugged those, and cha-ching, cha-ching. What you gonna do? Okay. All right, so kids, hurry and get. I believe they're going to sell out quickly in
yep.
Minneapolis and then also Chicago Gay Pride Weekend, Saturday, June 25th.
And Taste the Chicago Weekend.
Yeah, off the hook. And we have the Chicago All-Stars Blues Band backing us up for that one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I don't.
You got to have an Italian beef for me.
Excuse me?
An Italian beef sandwich.
Sure. Oh, sure. All right. So anyway, thank you, everybody, very much. We appreciate it. I'm exhausted. My brain's a little pile of mush.
Uh-oh.
I need someone much, much smarter than I am now to pull me through. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, much smarter than me, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Good, thanks.
Good. Listen, let's talk about your, this stuff you'd think would go without saying, that stuff in the New York Post, maybe not necessarily true. But you wrote a piece about, does anyone believe New York Post exclusive about a union plowing slowdown? So tell us about this story.
Yeah, that was late last December and early in January. There was this huge blizzard in New York City, and the streets were definitely not plowed as usual, and Mayor Bloomberg later took a hit for that. But the New York Post concocted this exclusive about how the streets weren't plowed because lazy, arrogant union workers refused
sure.
to. And it was part of a budget protest. And as Media Matters pointed out at the time, like, the story made no sense. There was no sourcing, there was no evidence, there was no nothing. But we forget how quickly these smear campaigns come and go.
Right.
But it was a huge deal. It was all over Fox. It was all over talk radio. And CNN covered it. All the mainstream press had to cover it because the wing nuts were yelling so loud. They were accusing these sanitation workers who worked, endlessly trying to clear the streets. They accused them of criminal negligence because people were dying
yeah.
because they weren't plowing the streets. Well, a city report came out on Friday, a New York City report, interviewed 150 people, zero evidence. It did not happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
But
and this was a massive union-bashing smear campaign that was built on,
yeah.
on a New York Post fabrication.
And, Eric, you know, that's what you and Media Matters are so good at, you know, is the fact that they have a storyline, and basically, then you know, as in, we hate unions,
yeah.
and then they just fill in the stories here that fits that storyline, whether it's true or not.
Yeah, and like I said, this was a really big deal, and the mainstream media felt like they had to cover it, because Drudge was blaring it, and again, it was just completely fabricated. There's nothing to it, and this is when conservative media is nothing more than propaganda. I mean,
well,
it's nothing more than the fabrication of information to destroy certain people and demographics or groups. In this case, hardworking
yeah.
Eric, people.
You know, we were just we started Sexy Liberal in Madison, and obviously we were just there. And look at, I mean, that's what you did so brilliantly on that one. I mean, Fox News had to use different footage of an entirely different city with palm trees
oh, right.
to try to make these hardworking, decent
yeah.
folks look like angry mobs. I mean, it's really incredible.
Yeah, and they've invented this the new monster, the new, going back to last winter, unions were a sickness. They were destroying this country. Look at what these people are doing in New York City during this blizzard. And again, total fabrication. And of course, nobody who touted it in December and January, none of the Andrew Breitbart bloggers, nobody on Fox News, nobody at the New York Post will now apologize or say boo. They don't care. They have no
yeah,
ethics.
Exactly.
They have no morals. They're just out to destroy people.
Yeah, and you're right. Never any comment. Just on to the next lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just like, what? Oh, that story is, that was a long time ago.
But that is conservative journalism today. That's what they do.
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Eric, some days it writes itself, doesn't it? When Sarah Palin... All right, here's her little original history lesson. Here
we go. He who warned the British that they weren't going to be taking away our arms by ringing those bells and making sure as he's riding his horse through town to send those warning shots and bells that we were going to be secure and we were going to be free.
Okay, you know what? When you
God.
Read that, it makes a little bit of sense. But when you hear her say it, it makes no sense.
She's the eighth grader doing the, she's just bolt her way through the oral report.
Yeah. And also was of the ringing of the bells when he was finishing the Magna Carta to free the Jews.
Well, and she was on Fox News yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Chris Wallace gave her a chance to say, oh, gosh, I just messed up. But she doubled down with a very long, confusing answer.
And here it is now.
You know what? I didn't mess up about Paul Revere. Here's what Paul Revere did.
Uh-huh.
He warned the Americans that the British were coming. The British were coming, and they're going to try to take our arms. So we got to make sure that we were protecting ourselves and shoring up all of our ammunition and our firearms so that they couldn't take it. But remember that the British had already been there, many soldiers, for 7 years in that area. Uh-huh. Part of his ride was to warn the British that were already there that, hey, you're not going to succeed. You're not going to take American arms. You are not going to beat our own well-armed persons, individual private militia that we have. He did warn the British.
What?
And in a shout-out, gotcha type of question that was asked of me, I answered candidly and... I know my American history.
Oh, God. That was a gotcha question?
Right.
Everything's a gotcha question because she's such a
Anything
victim.
Anything she gets wrong is a gotcha question. So, two things. A, after Chris Wallace sat through this very confusing interview with Sarah Palin, he went back on Fox News and announced she had been dazzling, and he'd never seen her that coherent and so in depth and tackling the details, which is quite funny. And then, as we noted last night, we learned on the internet that a site, Little Green Football, as we found out, Palin fans trying to edit Wikipedia Paul Revere page.
Oh God, I know.
They want to make the stories match up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you like the historical fun facts, by the way, everybody. First of all, the mission was supposed to be a secret. He wasn't warning the British. It's like, you know, that's what a historian said, Eric, that he wouldn't have been ringing any bells. He was, because they said, where is it here? I love this. Hang on a second. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, Revere would never have rung any bells on that famous night because the Redcoats were under orders to round up people just like him. He was riding off as quickly and quietly as possible, said one historian. Paul Revere did not want the Redcoats to know of his mission at all. He was supposed to be warning, Hancock and Samuel Adams. Like, he wasn't, but I mean, she just, you're right, they allow her to kind of rewrite it, and you're like, no, he wasn't. What? We didn't have Second Amendment rights yet. There was no Constitution. Anyway, all right. Had to get that out of my system, Eric. Apologize. All right, Gretchen Carlson on Fox and Friends.
Governor, I think one thing you might get a bum rap for is the whole health care situation in Massachusetts. Yeah. And I know I've interviewed you about this before, and you say, hey, you know what? It didn't end up being the plan that I originally proposed. But the majority of voters out there right now who hate Obamacare are kind of throwing you into the same mix.
Why would that be?
Yeah.
I love the fact that, that's not the health care you proposed in Massachusetts, but it's the health care you signed into law. Why are people holding you accountable for something you signed into law? And B, you know, it's essentially Obamacare. All those Romney people in Massachusetts, they were very influential in Washington in terms of the legislation that was crafted. So,
well, it's kind of hilarious in my opinion, it's one of his only accomplishments in Massachusetts.
And
economically, they were 47th in the country, so he's not a job creator.
And now it's his one accomplishment, and now he can't figure out how to make it go away. And it was very nice of that Fox host to try to, you know, give him a chance because, you know, their viewers can't stand him, and they're not going to forgive him for trying to help, trying to improve health care in this country.
That's unforgivable.
Yeah. Set the record straight, Governor.
Eric Bowler remains in the sidecar. We continue with more Right Wing World 18 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. We had a town hall meeting in Raleigh-Durham on Saturday night. Brian was there. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good, honey.
Hey, I was telling Rebecca, at which point did you realize that your genes had lost the fight with gravity?
Oh, dear. Did I give you a little free crack on Saturday?
It was awesome. John Fugazane was awesome. Hey, you know what? And I just want to let the Stephanie Miller people who listen know that when you say you go commando, that's what you mean.
Yeah. I'm not lying. Listen, there's no lies told on this show, my friend.
It was awesome.
Thank you, baby.
So
all right. Thank you. Bye. All right. There it goes. Brian from Charlotte. Oops. My pants did lose a war with gravity. You know, it's hard to do a teabagging demonstration without, you know, losing a little bit of dignity. All right.
Maybe you need to eat a sandwich.
Shush.
As that girl in Long Beach said.
As I was heckled the last time I was out.
Yeah.
All right. Eric Bollard is in the sidecar. Let's continue the Right Wing World. Brian Kilmeade, on the radio.
When I thought Governor Palin was really classless in doing what she did and going up to Massachusetts when Mitt Romney is making his announcements. Now, if it was someone in the other party and you wanted to find a way to get under their skin because you want them out of office, I understand. But right now, if you think poorly of Mitt Romney, or if you feel as though that he's your greatest threat, or you feel as though that you want to make sure that you are relevant, whatever it is, I just think if you're in the same party, give each man or woman a time to make their announcement.
Oh, dear.
Wow. Republicans eating their own, Eric.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was on his on the radio, yep. Which is interesting. He didn't say that on Fox TV, I don't think.
About but his fellow yeah, employee? I mean, yeah.
You know, it was so obvious what Palin was doing in trying to, step all over Romney's toes on his debut that if it weren't Palin and someone else was doing it, they would have been, as Gilmy did, I mean, widely criticized. So
it was hilarious. I love she apologized. Oh, golly, I apologize if I stepped on his toes in any way. Like, yeah, who knew someone would pay attention when I rolled in there with a big colored bus? I mean, it's hilarious, right?
But it does show that, within the conservative movement, I mean, her ratings continue to be fairly abysmal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, exactly. All right, oh, and here she is again.
It is the Republicans who want to save that safety net for our esteemed elders.
Oh.
And we cannot let the mainstream media manipulate this issue and dictate, really, what they want people to believe this Medicare reform program in order to save it of Representative Ryan's in.
What?
Now, I heard Pelosi saying, she outright lied, saying, well, the Republicans, you know, they want to do away with Medicare as we know it. No, it's the Democrats who are going to do away with Medicare as we know it.
Oh, wow. Wow, Nancy Pelosi's a liar, and they need to burn the village to save it, Eric.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I mean, this is the kind of rhetoric that Palin was using yesterday on Fox News, Fox News Sunday, and afterwards, Chris Wallace, who supposed to be the objective interviewer,
right,
goes up back on Fox News and says, I've never seen her so great. She's good with details. I mean, imagine if David Gregory, interviewed a cabinet member, and then an hour later went back on news and said, I've never seen a White House official so smart on TV before. I mean,
oh, yeah. She'd
be fired.
She's brilliant.
This is what Chris Wallace does. He cheerleads nonstop for Sarah Palin because, let's face it, the only way he ever gets ratings is when Sarah Palin
right. But I mean, what's hilarious is nobody had to lie about Paul Ryan put his plan out there himself.
Yeah.
And the American people roundly hate it. I mean, it's just, people aren't stupid. They see exactly what this plan is. And anyway. All right. Up is down. Down is up on Fox News. Sean Hannity, here we go.
It seems that's the Democratic talking point. They're back to Medicare, scaring old people. That's why they're so upset with the whole Anthony Weiner issue this week, because it took away precious days for them to go out and scare seniors.
Well, we didn't. What?
What?
I think there'll be plenty of time if that's actually what they want to do. But I love, in the wake of the New York 26th election, that was the talking point. You know, they scared voters about Medicare. And then in the next breath, they say Obama wants to kill Medicare. So Obama reform is going to end Medicare as we know it. Huh. But don't listen to Democrats because they're scaring you about the future.
Exactly, in the same breath. All right, Eric Bolling on O'Reilly.
You know who he nominates for the Department of Commerce secretary job?
Yeah.
An eco-terrorist,
no.
John Bryson.
Wait, get out of here. The man who runs the biggest
environmentalist
in America.
Juan, you know he started that environmental group that has done nothing.
Okay,
done
but
nothing,
he's the biggest
but
utility operator in America. How's that not a businessman?
Try and push us. His quote, we should be off oil and gas completely within 20 years. That will
all
never
right.
happen.
You
That's
don't like the president's policies. We'll see how it goes because the economy is not in any good shape by any means. I agree with you there.
But you're doing a good job.
Wow. Yep. Where do you start there, Eric? But you have 30 seconds, so go.
But no, this was Bolling's attack, you know. Mm-hmm. Eco-terrorist. I mean, this guy, as Juan Williams points out, is, you know, part of the industry. But, you know, again, I think Eric Bolling is just trying out for Glenn Beck's time slot and wants to show how willing and hateful and unhinged he'll be in order to get that time slot.
But with an upper crust accent, which sounds nicer.
Yeah.
All right, Eric Bolling from Media Matters. Thanks so much, sir. See you next week.
I'll talk to you
back. All right, there he goes, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Governor Jesse Ventura on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Sounds like someone needs to get a life.
Oh, so sadly true. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. The Rude Pundit coming up next hour, and then Mondays with McClurg, of course, in hour number three. Yep. Edie McClurg joins us live in studio. We are rejoined by one of our personal favorite guests, former Governor Jesse Ventura, who has an amazing new book out. Hello, Governor.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you today?
Good. So good to talk to you again.
Absolutely.
Well, this book is just getting all kinds of buzz. The 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read. What is there one in particular that you're getting the most response on?
Well, not really, because they're so diverse and cover such extraordinary issues across the board, and it's much like politics. It's whatever your issue is, the document will be in there, and that'll be the one that affects you personally the most. The one that one that troubles me is document 24 and 25, emergency detention camps and civilian inmate labor program.
Wow.
Really?
For what? Now, this is all in the last decade.
Wow. Yeah.
What could, are you talking about citizens of the United States being put in these camps?
Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, on my TV show, I approached a congressman from Tennessee with the bill from Homeland Security that ordered FEMA to build no less than 6 internment camps. And they basically came down on my TV show and got it censored.
What would these be internment camps be used for?
Your guess is as okay. good as mine. I'm wow. trying to figure out why too. What are we building internment camps for, and who do they plan on putting in there? I mean, the last time we did that, I believe it was Japanese American citizens in World War II, and we ended up having to give them huge payments when we were done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I know that whole, I think it's the fifth section of the book, right, examines the war on terror in general. I have to ask you though, because I thought of you being a former U.S. Navy SEAL. Yeah. What you thought of? I mean, come on, that operation couldn't have gone any better, could it?
Well, absolutely.
The Bin Laden, I mean,
I give the SEALs credit. They're the ones to get the job done. I know they can. I have all the confidence in the world in them. They're my right. teammates. They're my where I came from. But let me put a caveat in there. Deep in the pit of my stomach, I still have a hollow feeling. You know why?
Why?
Well, do I believe what I've been told? They lied about the murder yeah. of Pat Tillman. They lied about the rescue of
Jessica
Lynch.
Now, wait a minute. You're saying you're not sure about the Bin Laden story? What part aren't you sure about?
Well, my point is my government has no credibility with me anymore.
Ah.
Because they've lied to me so often.
Yeah.
This book, I've renamed the United States. We're now called the United States of Hypocrisy.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, I guess in terms of this, I mean, specifically this Navy SEAL operation, I mean, I have to ask you, as a former U.S. Navy SEAL, yeah. I mean, it seems fairly extraordinary to me. Like, wouldn't you have thought if you were on that mission, there's a pretty good chance you're not coming out alive? I mean, the fact that they all got out of there alive.
Absolutely
yeah.
not. You go on every mission with the full intention of coming out alive.
Hmm. Okay.
We don't do suicide missions.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is that was a pretty...
We are the most professional. They know their job inside and out. And the thing that I enjoyed about it was the policy hasn't changed since Vietnam. And you know what that policy is?
What's that?
If you're going to send whoever makes the decision, if you're going to send the Navy SEALs in, chances are there's going to be people dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when we go in, we will give one opportunity to cooperate and come with. If the individual does not exercise that option, that individual will be terminated immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say I'm not prepared to question the judgment of a Navy SEAL in that situation.
On the ground. You cannot judge what went on the ground. Neither can I.
Right,
I wasn't there.
Right.
I would never second guess anything that happened.
Governor, I got to ask you. I've been traveling a lot.
But wait,
oh,
let me
go
throw
ahead. Go
one
ahead.
At you just for you to think about a little.
Okay.
Now, we killed Bin Laden because of 9/11, right?
Mm-hmm.
How come we didn't indict him for it?
What's your point?
My point is, don't we have a procedure in this country? How can we systematically eliminate someone without at least indicting them for breaking the law first?
Well, because I thought you just said a Navy SEAL in that situation.
Wait.
Right.
That's what I said.
Okay.
I said that's what happens when you send the SEALs in.
Oh, I'm okay. You're
what
saying
I'm
we never had any intention of. Okay.
Why wasn't he indicted for
right.
9/11?
Well, see, that's where you and I differ. I don't care. But I'm just saying
you're
a Navy SEAL in that situation.
Matter.
So you're saying you don't believe he was going for a weapon?
No. What I'm saying is is, why is our country violating our rules and making exceptions, just like when we violate the Bill of Rights and our Constitution? You cannot follow those documents only when it's convenient.
I hear you. So what you're saying is you don't believe...
Kill someone without indicting them?
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but you're saying you don't believe the whole story of the Navy SEAL operation.
I would like to see an indictment for a change, like these guys in Guantanamo, right?
Right.
The Constitution says they're to be tried either in Pennsylvania, New York, or Virginia. Why are we violating our Constitution again?
Well, I mean, part of that, here's the thing I agree with you on.
You realize Ben Franklin told us if you give up your liberty for security, you'll have neither.
And I'm trying to agree with you. That's what I'm saying, governors. This is what I get when I get annoyed when Democrats lose political will, too, because part of the reason, obviously, we haven't closed Gitmo is because Democrats get afraid and they don't stand with the president on it.
These two political parties need to be abolished.
Yeah, well, I know that's you. But do you really think there is going to ever be a viable third party candidate that could win?
I don't want a viable third party. I don't support the third party movement anymore. I support the abolishment of all political parties. Because any third party, the system is so corrupt. The Democrats and Republicans have corrupted the system so bad, sold out completely to corporate, that any third party in which to participate or compete will have to sell out likewise. You've already got a
monster.
Why do you need a three-headed monster?
How do we get away from the corporate?
Well, there's a simple start. You know what the first thing this country could do? Don't put a party on a ballot. Put only a name.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a great start. The second thing we could do, on all ballots at the bottom, have the option none of the above.
Yeah.
Which is a vote of no confidence in your government.
Yeah.
That way, when you're only given a Democrat or Republican to vote for, you can vote no confidence in government. Neither one of these parties is worth a damn.
Governor, do you like anybody in the Republican field this time?
Yeah, I like Ron Paul.
Okay.
Ah, okay. Well, that makes sense. Let me ask you one thing. I just want to get to one.
Excuse me. I dedicated the book to Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Governor, I want to ask you, because I've been traveling a lot recently, and I know that you have this lawsuit against the TSA, right, on this whole airport security thing. Tell us about that.
Well, I have metal in my body. So when I go through the metal detector, it goes off. I'm going to be, no matter what, be forced either to the X-ray machine or to the extended search, they call it now, the bigger one.
Right.
I had it done to me once, and I immediately came home so angry, I called my attorneys. I said, I want to sue.
Wow.
It's a sexual assault.
Yeah.
And as far as going in these X-ray machines, they haven't determined whether they're dangerous or not. Give me a break. I fly four times a week, and I'm going to get X-rayed four times a week for a period of 6 months, and then they're going to tell me there's no side effects?
Yeah, I mean, Governor, I think went through this whole thing for the first time yesterday at LAX, and I did the X-ray thing, and then, you know, there's a woman, when you get through the thing, on the walkie-talkie, and she's like, yeah, okay, and then she did a pat-down on my leg. I'm like, I got to get X-rayed. And you're patting down my leg for some reason. I have no metal in my body, you know?
Again, let me repeat, Stephanie. It goes back to Ben Franklin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're selling our liberties for security.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it begs the bigger question. Here's the bigger question. You know what that is? Why is it the government's job to provide security for private sector airlines?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I mean, good questions.
This is being done, in my opinion, for different reasons than they're telling us. This ain't about the war on terror. This is about the lockdown of the United States of America.
Governor, before you go, because I know you got a tight schedule as well, but I want to...
Wait, let me say this. I live in Mexico half the year, so I cross the border now every year. I drive it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I call when I come back to the U.S. every spring? It's coming back into East Berlin.
Yeah.
And now, should we be proud of that?
Yeah. No, you make some
freedom, right. And our country's like East Berlin now.
Mm. Governor, let me, before you go, because, you know, you really thought-provoking stuff, honestly, and I think that, you know, the biggest subject these days, obviously, is the economy and jobs. It was not a good report on Friday. What is your opinion on a way out of this recession?
Well, one good way out of the recession would be to cut the defense spending and bring all
yes.
our troops home. And
yes.
Wait,
yeah.
Let me say this to you for a moment. Did we not go to war because of 9/11?
Mm-hmm.
Then we just got the guy yep. from 9/11. Yep. Shouldn't we be coming home now?
I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Oh, well, what does it tell you that we're not? That 9/11 was not the reason we went to war, because we're not coming home now. We went to war. You know why we're in Afghanistan?
Hmm.
Lithium.
Hmm.
They found a vein of lithium there that's worth, they claim, $1 trillion. What is lithium used for? Every cell phone,
computer
and soon-to-be electric cars.
Well, what do you make of the what do you make of the drawdown, though?
We go to war so that international corporations can prosper.
But what do you make of the drawdown? What is that? That doesn't
the drawdown of what?
Of troops in Afghanistan.
Oh, big deal. We're still going to have them there.
Hmm.
You know, it's like Ron Paul said, we marched in, we can march out.
Yeah, no, I agree with both of you on that. Governor, really and truly, always a pleasure and thought-provoking. And the book is 63 documents, or excuse me, documents the government does not want you to read. Always fascinating. Governor, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Stephanie. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and thanks for letting me vent.
Yeah, yeah, listen, I feel better, too. I'm going to have a cigarette now. I'm not even smoke.
Woo!
You know, he's not your usual easy interview.
He
interviews you.
And he's tough.
Yeah, he is. No, he
and
makes
very
some
thought-provoking.
Some good points and yeah. some things I'm like,
yeah.
No, because it's like Ron Paul. Half the time I'm like, yes, yes, what? No.
No.
Okay, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, do it. Get it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. By the way, speaking of get it, you better get it with some tickets to the Sexy Liberal Show in Minneapolis. They're going to be sold out, and I believe Chicago as well. Mm-hmm. Minneapolis is up next Saturday, June 18th, and the Netroots Convention is there when we're there.
That's right.
It's wherever the Sexy Liberal Show goes. That's where all it goes. That's everything's happening.
And look around on those Netroots blogs that you might see, the
yes.
participants, because you may be able to find a discount
what?
Code.
Oh, my goodness. And I'm told that we're going to have two or three, perhaps, major announcements.
What?
Sexy Liberal
you can't
announcements.
Do that.
I don't know what's happened. I don't understand why I'm not in charge of any of this.
Is there going to be traveling involved?
Right, apparently.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the Broadway rumor that was in the
Broadway.
Minneapolis. Broadway?
Yes.
It was in the Minneapolis paper. That was news to me. I was like, what? I don't. Why don't I know anything about this tour?
You're just a figurehead.
Like the queen.
Yep.
Josh in Charlotte, North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Josh. Oof, where'd he go? Hello, Josh. Josh. Okay, goodbye. All right. Can I just tell you how much I love Rebecca Taylor, our surly
why, what you do
associate
now?
Producer / screener? Because when I go to the bathroom sometimes during the break,
yep.
I just get to overhear her. And she goes, you're calling on behalf of your dog? What does that even mean? She's just surly. You know?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
Oh, I love
tough
her.
To get by her. I'm yeah. telling you what. She's like the show bouncer.
Yeah.
Eric in Harlem, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Chris. How y'all doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm the official happy black man of Stephanie Miller Show.
God bless you.
I was the one that was crying the last time I called in.
Oh, yeah.
When the president had to produce his birth certificate. Yep.
Yeah, I've been laughing ever since.
Oh, good. You know, good.
Ever since Donald Trump and the press corps. The,
and by the way, Eric, I'm a lame-ass white girl, and that made me cry, the whole president having to dance for
goodness.
The... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but, you know, I was calling. I was talking to Rebecca, and she... And what I was saying to her was, I love Jesse Ventura, and I think some of the stuff he said had some good ideas, but it's not really viable. I mean, first of all, then don't vote. I'd rather see a person not vote than this none of the above crap. Because what it says is we're not voting. The other thing is whoever we vote for without a party affiliation still has to represent the United States. And they're still going to be either conservative in view or they're going to be liberal in view. You know, but they're still going to have some form of ideology that they bring to the party. I mean, our government started as for the people, by the people. We still have that. Mm-hmm. But it just sounds like he's one of those guys like my brother. I was telling Rebecca, he sounds like my older brother. Where they've, you know, they said, I'm not dealing with government, but I'll get employment. I'll get SSI. I'll get all of this stuff that government gives me. But right. I don't trust government, but I trust the checks that they send me.
Well,
but
yeah,
I don't
exactly.
trust government. That's ridiculous.
Well, you know, Eric, I think you raise a good point that there has to be some balance. I mean, that's the thing. It's you know, nobody I know, at least on the you know the Democratic Party, is actually for socialism. I mean, Bernie Sanders is. He's a socialist, and he makes a lot of sense on a lot of issues. But I think you're right. It's like there is a balance between where government can be helpful, and nobody wants the government in all of our business.
One more thing, though. Ron Paul is still a conservative Republican at heart.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because if you vote for him, you're still the only independent we have right now is from Vermont. Right. Period.
Well, Eric, and you're right, Ron Paul.
That we have.
Right, Ron Paul. You go, you know, on Iraq and Afghanistan. You're like, yes, yes, yes. And then we get to, but there should be no Civil Rights Act. Then you're like, what? No. What?
Right.
Yes, there should be no government of any kind.
And he raised a crazy Tea Party son. So why am I to trust? Why
that's right.
That I trust him as some true independent.
That's
Please.
Right. All right. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. By the way, David Bender writes in, stewardess, I speak Palin. She met Paul Revere in the Raiders.
Oh.
Yeah.
I speak Jive.
Oh, good.
All right. All right. Thank you for that, David. Let's go to John in Washington State. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, John.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
Jesse Ventura gives me a headache in my eye.
Some of the things he says give me a headache in my eye as well.
Well, okay, let's just follow his logic for a moment. Okay, so this FEMA death camp program, right, was started under Ronald Reagan. That's what he said in his big True TV documentary, right? And then it was handed off, you know, through George H.W. to Bill Clinton. So Bill Clinton gets in office and says, oh, well, thank you for these death plans you were going to round up all the Democrats with. I'll just take them now and I'll make plans to round up all the Republicans. And it's just like, right, as if Bill Clinton's not going to blow the whistle. And then George W. Bush is going to say, hey, Bill Clinton was going to round up all these Republicans. It just, it makes no sense. And as far as Ron Paul's such a radical that He pushed the sanctity of life measure, which would have pushed the definition of life back to conception,
right,
which would outlaw the pill.
And that's not very libertarian.
And abortion.
Yeah. Well, John, you know, here's the I didn't even want to get started on 9/11 with him. But,
I know.
But I mean,
couldn't get over it edgewise.
Yeah.
Well, we talk about that every time that he's on, so we focused on
other
things.
Yeah. Well, and also, John, but the one thing, you know, he does ask in the book, which I have that question, too, or why are we rogue airline, you know, airplanes allowed to be in our airspace that long? To me, and see, this is where I obviously differ with Jim, I think it's Bush administration incompetence. But, you know, he obviously, but there is a question. How could that have happened in American airspace for that long, for an hour
or
whatever?
Weren't they conducting tests and China was involved in that, and they diverted fighter planes, and oh, but it was a big coincidence that nobody could have foreseen that they were going to attack the towers with planes, except that's what they were what they were playing on.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, I have a question. I absolutely have questions. You're right, John. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's just, but, you know, to me, Governor Ventura is a little more like Jim, and I understand that, but it's like everything has apparently a dark, and I don't necessarily believe that. I think I'm somewhere more in the middle, but he raises
good points.
But it was a thought-provoking interview. I was not prepared for that on a Monday morning, drunk as I am, on 2 hours of sleep.
A lot of people in the chat room said that he was being rude to you. I don't think he was being rude to you. I thought having a conversation.
Oh, are you kidding? How can anyone be rude to me? Yeah. I've been in this business 1,000 years.
Yeah,
you cannot possibly insult me.
I always love it when he's on because it's you know.
Oh no, I love him. I didn't think he was rude at all. That's him. If you've ever seen him anywhere, that's Governor Ventura.
Yeah.
All right. He could have called me a slut. I don't care.
Well,
Vivian and Vivian in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Biv.
Hi. Thanks, Stephanie.
I just had a couple of comments about Jesse Ventura's interview.
Yes, quickly. We got 30 seconds.
Okay. As far as not indicting bin Laden, he has openly declared war on Americans.
Yeah.
We're at war with him. So I don't think an indictment is needed.
Okay.
And as far as abolishing the two-party system, why not experiment in Jesse Ventura's state first? Why launch this on all of America right off the bat?
There you go. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Much more to get to as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Why, I think you're right. I'll have to top off my Frappuccino with a Santorum this morning in honor of his entrance.
Ew. Really? Santorum?
Rick Santorum has entered.
Have you looked at the internet lately?
Rick Santorum's in.
Yep. And out.
Ow,
and in.
Ow,
and out.
Ow. Okay. It is the... Jim Ward's here, everybody.
Yep.
6 minutes after... It is a conspiracy that I had Governor Ventura on when you weren't here. Well, like, that's a coincidence.
Ventura was here when I wasn't, so I couldn't ask him pertinent questions.
So you weren't asking any of your pesky questions.
In his own voice, which he would love no end, I'm sure.
Listen, having just done Carol Channing, to Carol Channing on Friday, they do not enjoy that.
No,
they don't.
Carol Channing? Ooh, I don't think anyone... Oh, I see what you mean.
Jim
Louise.
She's
a tiny, tiny woman from what
she
I understand.
She is teeny tiny, and she could not be nicer. Yeah, I get. Where is this? Oh, it's one of the many things. Is it up on StephanieMiller.com? Mama was
And it's also up on your Facebook
weekend.
Page.
Carol Channing named Hero of Hollywood, hosted by radio personality comedian Stephanie Miller, also honored several other heroes of Hollywood. It was really fun on Friday here in Hollywood.
Were they all as old as
Carol
Channing?
I don't know who wrote this. Shut up! Don't get me in more trouble!
What?
She's a legend!
She is a legend, but she's also very, very old.
Stifle.
Whoever wrote this has exquisite taste. Miller was hilarious throughout, welcoming everyone to America's most famous neighborhood, Hollywood, questioning why anyone would consider her appropriate for such a formal affair. That's true. It was a disastrous mistake, as it normally is when people think that I'm qualified in some way to do that. I feel like I'm going to plot, she said, sitting next to Carol Channing. I just like to get some Yiddish in any comedy appearance I do.
Well, yes. De rigueur. Well, that's not Yiddish, it's French.
Yes, because I do sound like her when I talk to Mac.
What'd she say about that?
She didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yo, dummy, you stupid moron. All right, but she really was very, very nice, and I congratulate her on being a hero. Okay.
Of course, they realize you are delirious with lack of sleep and excessive wine consumption.
Yes, I've slept maybe 2 hours.
Overload.
Yes, maybe
and
2 hours the whole weekend. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it's not been a good weekend for sleep. Let me just say that much. But we were in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, ladies and gentlemen, getting our sexy on. Thank you, everybody, in Raleigh-Durham. You know what? Our hot program director, Christy Dixon, had to be groped by Hal Sparks in your absence, Jim. Normally, that's your job. I know. And apparently in Minneapolis up next, ladies and gentlemen, June 18th, hurry, tickets going fast. We probably will sell out there as well. And this was, I guess, who sent this? Karen in Minneapolis. Steph, having heard repeatedly that Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope, I was stunned when I opened up the Star Tribune this morning and saw this article. Broadway bound? Word has it two Broadway landlords are coming to check out the sexy liberal comedy tour when it stops at the State Theater on June 18th. Huh?
Wow.
Max Bialystock and his friend are coming, Jim. I don't
Right. And, yeah. And Leo Bloom. That was the other
guy. Leo Bloom.
Yes.
Bloom and Bialystock. May we help you? Obviously, they'll be checking out the viability of taking the show to Broadway, which sounds like a no-brainer because it's sold out in L.A. where more shows had to be added. What? I haven't added shows yet.
What?
Listen,
huh?
At some point, I'm going to have some say in this.
Wait a minute. We've added shows?
No, I haven't added a show.
Oh.
And has had huge advance sales in Chicago. Yeah, Chicago will be sold out as well. Hurry on that one, June 25th. That's the next one up after Minneapolis. Blah, blah, blah. If so, will you continue to do your radio show, for God's sakes?
That's yeah.
Of course I will.
That's your bread and butter.
More importantly...
And if we don't do the radio show, Jim and I don't have a job.
Yes, exactly. The important thing.
Yes.
More importantly, because who is going to employ you two, for God's
right,
sakes?
Exactly.
More importantly, will I get a rebate on my podcast? Listen, you cheap biatch, Karen. It's all about her now. If you should move to Broadway, looking forward to the show on the 18th. By the way, my husband and I will be on the main floor, aisle 1, row P, seat 1 and 2, if you want to say. All right, let me write that down. Or, okay, got that, Karen.
Sure. There it is.
Karen, your husband. Yeah. Okay. All right, kids.
It'll be on the other side of the Chardonnay-soaked cocktail napkin.
Yes. Come make us look good in front of Max Bialy's talking Leo Bloom, won't you, kids?
As the battle for the survival of America's middle class enters the next stage, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show World Tour is bringing their fight to the heart of Al Franken territory, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm in town here. I had to do a few things in the Twin Cities.
On June 18th at the State Theater, see the unholy comedy trinity of John Fugelsang, the ecclesiastical moot, the rocker son, Hal Sparks, and the spirit of progressive talk radio.
You sexy
Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000.
I like it.
Come be a part of the laughs and pure progressive inspiration. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show, the State Theater, Minneapolis, Minnesota, June 18th.
You sexy
Stephanie Miller. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Be there.
Thank you, Shano. All right. And up to three more major announcements this week. Okay.
Wow.
By the way, speaking of making more work for people, Rebecca's going to have to get that form letter out. You know the thing that says we apologize that Stephanie blanked in
blank.
And
ruined your blank.
Exactly.
What did you say in Durham?
It wasn't what I did. It wasn't what I said. I borrowed a guy's cell phone camera in the front row and took a picture of my JJ and tweeted it to everybody. That's how much I love my Durham liberals.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Good thing I apologize. Isn't that good enough? What's just saying.
Now, unfortunately, that won't make a scandal like it made Wiener's scandal.
No. It was dark in there. You could probably already see anything.
And you go commando, as we all know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Camelia writes, she sent me an e-card. Steph, I wish I'd known more about cell phone radiation before I took all those pictures of my genitals. Yeah, me too. Yikes. Okay. All right. Meanwhile, Jim, did you see Sarah Palin's, I don't know, she tried to... I got my history right.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Okay, can I have some my high school educational film strip?
Sure.
Let's review, shall we?
Paul Revere got in a snow machine and rode out to tell the Britons that the Irish were coming, and then they gave their guns to us.
Okay.
Okay. She insisted Sunday history was on her side when she claimed the fall. Revere's right was intended to warn both British soldiers and his fellow colonists.
No.
Computer says no.
No.
They'd be the last people he would
Actually, Chris Wallace, you realize you messed up about Paul Revere, don't you? She said, I didn't mess up about Paul Revere. Part of his ride was to warn the British that were already there. No.
I'm not being defensive.
No.
You're the one who's being defensive.
Right? Okay, here
it's
was her.
It's him, right? It's not me.
Here was her original.
I know that. You think I don't know that?
Never.
Here was her original statement, Jim. He who warned the British that they weren't going to be taking away our guns by ringing those bells and making sure he's riding his horse through town to send those warning shots and bells that we were going to be sure and we were going to be free and we were going to be armed.
Bells were
also moving. Two in addition to her bells. Oh, dear God.
You are an idiot.
The colonists, boys and girls, this will be on the test. At the time of Revere's ride, were British subjects with American independence still in the future, but Revere's own writing and other historical accounts leave little doubt that secrecy was vital to his passion.
Yeah.
No bells. There were no
bells.
No.
Bells would make noise.
The Paul Revere House website. What do they know?
Wow. That was the first website in
1729. A patriot leader in the Boston area instructed Revere to ride to Lexington, Massachusetts to warn Samuel Adams and John Hancock that the British troops were marching to arrest them. While he made bells, Revere would never have rung any on that famous night because the redcoats were under orders to round up people just like him. He was riding off as quickly and quietly as possible, said the historian. Paul Revere did not want the redcoats to know of his mission at all. Oh, there was bells and whistles, and there was flying whistle and such also, too, in addition. Ooh, it was like a
laser beam.
It was like a doodah parade.
Laser beams.
It was loud. A couple of sharks were in there with laser beams on their heads, even though that hasn't been admitted yet.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
Mm.
One shark if by land, two if by sea. Well, I guess it'd all be by sea if there were sharks involved.
A shark with a laser beam helped Samuel Adams write the Constitution. What? Okay, this is just, it's too much fun. It's like shooting comedy fish in a barrel some days, isn't it? Asked if she was leaning toward running. Who cares? She said, still right there in the middle. Just right there in the publicity whore middle. There. That's where she is on her whole decision on whether to run for president. She also said, I apologize if I stepped on any of what that PR Mitt Romney needed or wanted that day. I do sincerely apologize. I didn't mean to step on anyone's toes or run them over with my big colored bus. What'd I do? Okay, so that was...
Big colored bus with your website on the side.
Who let the dopes out? Woof,
woof. Woof, woof.
Someone let one of the dopes out when Mitt Romney was trying to get some publicity. By the way, Bill in Vermont writes, Steph, thought you and the mooks would be tickled to know that my local bookstore can't even give away The Persecution of Sarah Palin. Cue crying baby and Phyllis Diller laugh. Oh, all right. This whiny defensive crowd screed by some no-name right-winger bemoaning the lamestream media's unfair treatment of Caribou Barbie has been relegated to the table. I love this. To the table the bookstore puts out on the sidewalk outside the store, sandwiched between a bunch of how-to books, glossy coffee table picture books, and a whole display of preschool-aged children's books. There were about five price labels stuck on top of each other, each one representing a price reduction.
Wow, it's negative territory now.
It's like that sad little bin of Victory, the Victory elephant at the Republican convention.
At the airport.
Remember we saw?
Yeah, everything was half off.
Already half off. They already knew. They were screwed.
Uh-huh.
Nobody wanted one.
His name's Victor, and it sounds like victory, so it's clever.
Oh, he's a little island of misfit toys.
Yeah.
Poor little Victor.
Yes, he belonged with the wagon with the square wheels.
Mike in Phoenix on Caribou Barbie. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you? I've been waiting all weekend to hear a bit on Caribou Barbie.
Oh, God.
That is just insane. Absolutely insane. I can't understand how she still has fans. I mean, really.
Yeah, I know. I don't. I guess they will just apologize for anything or defend anything. I mean, it's just, it's like.
I got in a Facebook fight with a Sarah Palin supporter over the weekend.
Did you?
Yes, and he's like, well, the president made stupid comments about 57 states.
She's made about 57,000 stupid comments.
Not the same thing.
Mm. Okay.
And there are 57 entities that the president needs to win in a federal election.
People misspeak all the time.
Can I just say, though, I hope she gets in so we can see debate between her and Sarah Palin, where they get into a whole, historical. Come on. That just, it'd be like just a big sack of stupid, wouldn't it? Just,
yeah.
Well, you are incorrect, Sarah. That's.
Oh, no, I'm
Everyone
not.
Knows that Paul Revere crushed the British with Plymouth Rock.
Which, of course, is in Minnesota.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. The Rude Pundit coming up just after the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim, did you have some points of historical...
Well, this is from Wikipedia, which is always a little suspect because it's been meddled with by Palinites.
Yeah, it's been vandalized all weekend by Palinites.
But it talks about how the... The instructions to the sexton of the Old North Church to send a signal by lantern to alert colonists in Charlestown as the movements of the British Army.
Right.
You don't want to buy land, you know, by sea. Riding through present-day Somerville, Medford, and Arlington, Revere warned patriots along his route, many of whom set out on horseback to deliver warnings of their own. By the end of the night, there were probably as many as 40 riders through Middlesex County hearing the news of the army's advance. Revere did not shout the phrase later attributed to him, the British are coming, largely because the mission depended on secrecy, and the countryside was filled with British Army patrols.
Thank you. Yeah. If it was Sarah Palin, can you imagine? Yeah, he was going through there yelling, clang, clang, clang goes the trolley. Woo, there was slide whistle and bells and whatnot, and also, too, hey, everybody,
they're
coming to get your guns.
Maybe get your guns. That guns that you're allowed to have because of the Second Amendment of the Constitution, which has not been written yet.
Maybe she thought he was carrying Hop Sing's gong.
Smong. Whoops. Yeah, she'd be a good CIA agent, wouldn't she?
Uh-huh.
By the way, I'm a CIA agent on a secret undercover mission.
Oops. I probably wasn't supposed to say that.
All right. Let's go to Jason in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jason.
Hi. I'd like to agree in part with Governor Ventura that you had on earlier.
Well, wouldn't we all?
But first, can we officially make this a three-ring circus?
Okay.
Why isn't Christine O'Donnell running?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Be I want to see the trifecta.
The holy trinity yeah. of stupid. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, that would be, come on, that would be too good to be true comedy-wise, wouldn't it? Oh, please, God. Okay. All right. Dorothy in, or no, wait a minute. Oh, Dennis wants to defend, Dennis in South Carolina wants to defend Caribou Barbie. Okay. Hello, Dennis.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
What is it, I've always wondered, what is it about conservative women that drives you liberals absolutely bonkers?
Just stupid ones that aren't qualified to be president.
Well, I mean, you say, okay, first of all, the Paul Revere thing, if it was anybody else other than Sarah Palin, this wouldn't even be a topic. You guys are actually analyzing.
She puts herself out there as a topic.
Was that a gotcha question, really?
Does that not seem crazy that you guys are on the radio today analyzing the history of Paul Revere? That's how Sarah Palin drives you guys nuts.
Cool, she was wrong.
No, she wasn't.
Well, it
really?
Sounds like she's
talking about warning the people?
Warning the British? She said warning the British.
The British.
Yeah.
Well, see, she gets gotcha questions.
Gotcha. Who is Paul Revere warning? The British. Really loudly.
A simple question that any second grader could answer correctly is a gotcha question?
Yeah. Would you be that easy on your own kids? No wonder we're raising a nation of dopes.
It was like a poor,
that's a good enough answer.
It's like a poor oral book report from a third grader.
Yes.
And the same thing with the Statue of Liberty.
And by the way,
that's what the Statue of Liberty means to me, the end.
You know, I've mentioned that I believe children are the future.
I believe the children are the future.
Jim, since you and I used to travel together, I have switched from Screaming Baby Airlines to their sister airline, Chatty Toddler Airlines. Can I just say, we need to get a nation of tiger moms and dads. You need to get your together, kid, parents. I know I don't have kids, but get it together.
You can't even discipline your dogs.
Yeah, you don't discipline your dogs.
I seriously, and the other two women in my row, we both literally, it was the longest flight of my life. I lost the will to live. Not only was there an incredibly chatty toddler right behind me, his sister was playing a guitar the whole time. Are you allowed to do that?
Only in the movie Airplane. Only nuns are allowed to play the guitar.
I know. Here's the thing. Being such a yappy loudmouth on the radio, in public, I'm actually a shy Catholic girl. I would never tell somebody, please don't. But I literally wanted to just stick something in my eye. She was playing like a ukulele or guitar. And then her brother was like, I gotta be here. Like just a whole monologue, the whole flight. Just did not ever.
Well, that's when you put on your Bose noise-canceling headphones.
I forgot them because I am not a good packer. And I was like,
I know. You pack 2 seconds before
you
go out the door.
Yeah. You should. Okay, now that you're going on all of these trips, you need to pack a suitcase and have
it ready.
The
day before.
No. Just.
I need a helmet and I need
You need to put the stuff that you're going to take with you every time you go in the suitcase. You need to put it in the suitcase permanently.
Is there like a traveling, isolation chamber, tank, something where I can just not be exposed to anyone at any time?
Nope.
No. You have to interact with other people.
I'm telling you, chatty toddlers worse than screaming babies. I don't understand why that's okay. You can't.
And then also when the comments hot, and then on the time that we send them, we went out to bird, and then the cat.
4 hours!
That's going to happen when you fly occasionally. And you're flying a lot more.
You know what? I did have the courage to give the father one look. It did nothing. I just turned around the are you kidding me look. And he just blank stare.
Because he can't do anything about it.
No, not a tiger dad. I'm not even going to make any effort to make this child stop talking for even 1 second.
He's given up.
Uh-huh. All right, Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I know we gotta grow up sometime, but damn it, not today. That would ruin everything.
Yes.
34 minutes after the hour. Happy 30th birthday to Dave, the sexiest liberal. Love, Jamie. Aww.
Aww.
Go to the sponsorship page at stephaniemiller.com if you'd like to sponsor an hour of the show. All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let me just do this real quick. Dorothy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Hi, go ahead.
First, I have a question, and the reason I'm asking this question is that I have a. I'll give you the reason why I'm asking this question. If the president wins in 2012 election, will Sarah Palin fade out? And the reason I ask that is because Foster Kuehr was on our air show last week. He's from Think Progress, and the reason he made a good analogy.
Uh-huh.
He said that Michael Jordan markets gym shoes, Suzanne Somers market Thighmaster, and Sarah Palin markets hate politics.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she could start marketing a hate master if she doesn't run for president. Something. Just saying, yeah. Isn't it? She's infomercial ready.
Well, yeah, she's never going to get out of the public eye. Her ego is way too big.
Ever.
Seriously.
Exactly. Tiki in North Carolina, real quick. Hi, Tiki.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Wait, I wasn't supposed to say that. Sorry. I just want to let you know I had an awesome time at the show Saturday, Deepak. Oh,
thank you, honey. Thanks for coming.
And I really enjoyed meeting you. You guys were fabulous, and Hal was just as cute as he was supposed to be.
You're right.
And so was John.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to tell you, Roland was awesome in getting my VIP tickets last minute.
Roland, our tour director. Yes. And did you join the part where I shot ping pong balls up my hoo-ha like a tennis machine?
Honey, I was right there. I threw my hands up. I was trying to catch them.
Yeah, good for you. All right, terrific. Thanks so much.
Wait a minute. Does this really happen?
Sure. Listen, she's playing along. Play along.
Wow.
I did take a picture of my Naughty Bits with some guy's camera phone.
And people are asking in the chat room for those pictures.
Yeah, I tweeted it everywhere.
Sure, it's all over.
I drunk tweeted. Yeah. Okay. Hey,
it's probably on Anthony
Weiner's website. You, but you have no idea how to tweet. So.
I'm doing... if I could have, though,
okay.
I would have.
You should put it on Anthony Weiner's site.
All right. That was This has been the pre-rudeness before the actual rudeness. Here we go.
Sleep up at the rude pundit. Pundit.
Jim's here for this today. This is an hour later than usual.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Hello, your rudeness.
Did you just say you were tweeting with your hoo-ha? Wait, did I mix that up?
No. I took a picture of my lady bits with some guy's cell phone.
Ah, beautiful.
Yeah, it's all right. It's fine. We've got the apologies already been sent. Good morning, rudeness.
Good morning.
Because I have to say, I love your Anthony Weiner stuff.
Yeah.
It is hilarious. Let me get my bleep button ready. There, man, the Rude Pundit wants all Wiener all the time on TV. Why are we wasting our time on anything else? It's time to bring in the full investigative weight of the Fifth Estate to bear on the Wiener story, because nothing is more important at this point in our history than Anthony Wiener's pick. Which, yeah, it is. I think you even suggested getting NASA involved.
Oh, yeah. Get some of that 3D graphic imaging going on,
yeah.
You know, like where they're mapping things out.
Sure.
Yeah, I think we could get a nice topographical image there.
Sure. Some satellites all up in there, as you say. So we have some certitude, mother... You know, some certitude.
Yes. We got to have certitude.
Sure. Your point, of course, in your saucy way is, you write, nothing's more important than Anthony Weiner's penis, not corporate greed, not Republicans changing the rules of how Washington operates, not things that might actually affect the lives of people. Whatever Representative Weiner might have done involving a photo of, however much he's equivocating or even lying, at least he's not the in this situation. Very good, my friend. Very good.
Yes. We've all had quite a lot of fun staring at Wiener this last week. Are we ready to move on? Is this done?
I think the show is over.
Yeah. nothing more to see here. Yeah.
Good. Maybe his investigators will find Nicole Simpson's killer or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You can always count on Sarah Palin to do something stupid, though. And as you post, Sarah Palin sucks the GOP dry. She's grabbing all the attention left and right.
Yeah, I love going to New Hampshire on the day that Romney was announcing. I love that. Like being she was like 20 miles away.
Yeah, and she's like, I apologize if I stepped on any toes there. How was I to know?
Yeah. And I love that gotcha question. The gotcha question of, hey, how'd you like it?
Yeah.
And then because she just can't shut the hell up, she just goes on and on until she digs her own grave with whatever she's saying, and then she stands by it. You got to at least give her credit for stubbornness or something.
Yeah.
and that her followers tried to change the Wikipedia page. Did you see
that?
So
that's an endearing trait, by the way, never, ever admitting that you're wrong. Don't you love, don't we all love people like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's,
yeah.
Isn't that the contemporary Republican Party just all over?
Yep.
Anytime anybody points out anything to them that is remotely against their dogma, it's retrench and come up with another way to attack.
Yep. What was I going to say, Rude? You mentioned the Wikipedia. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. What did they do exactly? Her little minions.
They tried to go on Wikipedia and change the Paul Revere entry on Wikipedia to reflect her reality.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, this is what it's come to, isn't it?
I love that Wikipedia would then just become a reflection of Sarah Palin's reality.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody needs to start Palinpedia if they haven't already.
Oh, God, it's so rich. I love this, by the way, speaking of the Mitt story. New Hampshire's biggest newspaper puts Palin over Romney on the front page. I bet you he might have even gotten a hair out of place. He was so mad. It was supposed to be Mitt Romney's big day with his carefully designed announcement. He hoped to have at least one day driving the political narrative. Then the One Nation bus rolled into town with a flood of journalists in its wake. Somehow Romney got upstaged. The New Hampshire Union Leader, it's the largest, most important paper there. They put the Romney announcement, on the front. It quite literally was dwarfed by the banner coverage. Palin hits the seacoast, and then there was a little picture of Romney.
That's beautiful. Does anybody even...
With a little headline, Romney announces.
That's so emasculating. That's great. Also, is anybody paying attention that Rick Santorum announced?
Yes, I saw the breaking news this morning. We were all over that. We ordered extra Santorum on our Frappuccinos.
There's nothing more tasty than a good Santorum Frappuccino. Yes. I wonder if they can make a little heart out of it.
Or a little leaf.
Yeah.
Don't you think, we've talked about this a lot, but I was reading where Pawlenty, I think, was sucking up to these, religious conservatives somewhere. And, I mean, they seem just so, like, relics to me. In terms of gay rights, we passed majority support for gay marriage. Don't ask, don't tell is a done deal. I mean, they're both arguing over who can be the bigger gay basher, aren't they?
Yeah, no, you're right. And because this is the nature of, I guess, this is what they have to do for their primary. And what are they going to do if they get nominated in the general when they have to face a population that is majority pro-gay marriage? All of a sudden, they're going to shift away.
Yeah, but
what are they... How are they going to appeal to in any way? Or is there any reason they want to appeal to the majority of voters?
But that really is a regressive. It's not just, marriage equality, Rudy. It's don't ask, don't tell, which is 75% of the American people are for overturning it. It's already been overturned. Pawlenty would go back in and undo it.
Oh, and I loved Gates, was it yesterday or day before, told the Marines, no. Nobody gets to drop out because you don't like what we decided on don't ask, don't tell.
Right.
You opted into the Marines. You don't get to opt out.
Yeah, exactly. This is the This is my favorite. It's just my favorite gay bashing story. Let's see. Sean Hannity devoted an entire segment of his show to discuss how Sesame Street is guilty of liberal indoctrination. He had Ben Shapiro on, right wing whack job, who joked he would like to cap Elmo and decry the show's supposed liberal bias, including the advocacy of letting boys play with dolls and girls play with fire trucks. Ken Blackwell, the Ohio former secretary, he jumped in saying that allowing children to play with different toys sets up a problem in that it can lead to boys being, crowned prom queen later in life.
Oh, boy.
He said, so Sesame Street, by encouraging children to play with different toys, is teaching children to be so open and tolerant of gays and lesbians that they will one day be able to openly enjoy their proms. What?
Wow.
What? No.
Man. And you know what? I played with G.I. Joes all through my childhood.
Yes.
And that strangely didn't make me want to go kill a cobra or a king or otherwise. It didn't make me any more violent. I don't know why?
Yeah, why? Yeah. I played with the Barbie Dreamhouse, and my life looks nothing like that.
He wanted to cap Elmo? Is that what he said? He wanted to cap Elmo?
Yes,
cap Elmo.
Yes, yes.
Cap, so he wants to drag Elmo into an alley. Oh, no, Elmo don't like a gun in his face. And put two in the back of his skull. That's what he just said.
I
was thinking of saving the bullets of Bert and Ernie.
Are we back to, like, Jerry Falwell days of arguing about gay fictional characters? Whether Tinky Winky,
Teletubby
is gay because he has a purse?
Gay Teletubbies, Murphy Brown, and single parenting. Yeah. If you know why? Because You know what? Because it's on PBS. Maybe that's the only reason, is that you can attack
exactly
PBS.
Yeah.
And PBS now is just, it is government-funded gay rights education. That's what Sesame Street is. If you want to defund it, if you don't want people to learn about, kids to learn that gay puppets can get along.
Yeah. No, I love that whenever we have these arguments and then suddenly you go, they don't have any genitals of any kind, for God's fictional.
And I'm sorry, you know, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the freaky puppets in that, if you want to start attacking something, I think more child molesters were bred from the puppet village in Mr. Rogers.
That woman in the museum go-round scared the crap out of me when I was a kid.
Oh, and the cat, the meanie.
Yes!
Oh, my God. That's,
yes!
I don't know how many cats I drowned because of that.
And X the Owl always looked angry to me.
Mm. X the Owl.
That's
Do you see what it's trying to get us to do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you two have some more issues than we have time for now.
Absolutely.
All right, rootpundit.blogspot.com. It's a joy and a pleasure, as always.
Always.
All right, good luck with that therapy. All right, show me Rude on the puppet again where the Batman touched you.
By the way, Rude helped us out with the final half hour of the show on Friday.
Oh, he's fabulous. Yeah, all right. Oh, when I was having my nervous breakdown?
Yes, when
good.
You had to
thank you.
Had to leave.
45 minutes after...
We
just then you're having
we just said Mama had to leave
Mama
and get some rest.
Slow motion nervous breakdown for years.
And thus the radio show was born.
Thanks for your compassion, Jim. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
And I'm here to remind you of the mess you left when you went away. You I don't know.
I didn't know that Paul Revere went to the town shouting, shooting the guns and ringing the bells. And what? No? Didn't have a cold.
No, okay right. Then. My bad. Okay. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, God love Caribou Barbie. How about that little tot of hers, that 10-year-old Piper? Isn't she adorable? I was saying I believe children are the future unless it's any of the Sarah Palin's kids, and then we're,
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We're screwed.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, so she, her mom puts her on a big bus emblazoned with SarahPack.org, and then a reporter takes her picture, and she goes, thanks for ruining our vacation!
Vacation,
oh,
huh?
My God.
Mm. Yeah, I think Caribou Barbie, you better save a little bit of that Fox money for therapy.
Yeah.
Think anyone's going to have some mommy issues? Yeah? No?
You know, not all of us can fundraise in order to take our family on vacation.
So then, doctor, my mom put me on a big colored bus with her political thing on the side. She told us we were going on vacation, and all these reporters are taking our questions and taking our picture. And...
All right, Piper, our time's all up for this week. You cannot see Russia from my house. My mom's an idiot. Okay, we're going to have to adjust your meds, Piper. Thank you.
Can she be brought up on, election funding charges if these are PAC funds being used to take the family on a friggin' vacation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Election fraud, isn't it?
Exactly, and Piper will be the first witness.
Yeah, exactly.
Run our vacation. Mom said it was a vacation.
She said she was taking us to the circus.
Okay,
well,
I don't know.
Well, it's constant circus in Palin Land.
All right, Buddy in Columbus on Caribou Barbie. Hi, Buddy.
Hey, Mama, on the shooting the bells, ringing the guns, and when he was on the back of Todd's snow machine.
Sure.
And all that. The big thing is, you know that one if I land, two if I see lantern things
yes.
in the Old North Church? They did that because it was silent.
Yes.
It was a silent warning.
Don't tell anybody.
Get it.
I mean, it's been in all the books.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, books. There you go with your gotcha books.
There's the problem.
Gotcha books and gotcha questions.
You're asking me what I've read.
Mm.
Nothing.
I think that any question that she answers wrong is a gotcha question to her.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thought I had over the weekend is that I hope somewhere John Boehner is not tweeting a picture of his to anybody, because somewhere a woman is going, who sent me a picture of a tiny orange Cheeto?
Oh.
Because he's orange. All right, that one was free. I did that Saturday night. Okay, all right. Let's go to...
You using the leftovers?
Yeah.
Okay.
To make something fresh for this morning? Deirdre in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, Stephanie, you have become my new dirty, dirty secret in the morning.
Oh, dear. Shh.
I know, my
dirty,
husband's
nasty,
getting really scared.
Dirty,
okay.
Nasty.
My whole thing with this Sarah Palin is, you know, she's the Tea Party darling, right? They're all about the Constitution and the American way and
Except
the freedoms that America, and, you know, don't be mad at me because your Tea Party darling can't answer the questions that are on a citizenship test of the people she wants to keep out.
Yep, yep, I know, exactly. Or that most fifth graders could answer.
Yeah,
and technically there were no Americans until
right.
And she, British subjects.
And she can't answer questions correctly about people who are actually at the first Tea Party.
Yes. And by the way, she brought it up. No one asked her. Paul Revere? What?
And that's what Paul Revere means to me, the end.
The end.
Where's my gold star?
Bling. Rain in Washington, D.C. Hello, Rain.
Hello. I think everybody might be a little bit wrong about Sarah.
Why is that?
I don't think she was completely incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
I was reminded from a friend who lives up near Boston that there was a guy in the Revolution that warned the British were coming.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Benedict Arnold.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, so she
that's
was...
true.
Benedict Arnold rode through the town, warning the British with the bells and the guns and the what? Not the same guy?
What? What did I say?
Oh.
Okay.
Never mind.
She's our Roseanne yeah.
Adana. But she never says never mind.
Emily Latella, I'm sorry.
She never says never mind. She always tries to convince us that the
never
wrong
mind.
Thing she said
yes.
was right.
She is Emily Latella without the never mind.
Exactly.
Right. An unapologetic Emily Latella.
Oh, God.
Emily Latella.
Don in Chicago. Hi, Don.
Hey, Stephanie, I need to scold you a little bit about your last-minute packing for
Uh-oh.
These trips.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's really bad for Max and Fred.
Why is that?
Well, when you're packing last minute and you're running around frantic trying to get things going, your body chemistry changes, and that emits a certain smell that they pick up. So every time they smell that smell, they know that you're leaving, and it unnerves and freaks them out.
Oh, well, thanks for making me feel even worse about my life, Don. I didn't think
hey,
that
no
was
problem.
Possible, but thank you so much. Thank
you're
you.
So welcome.
All sure. right, sure.
See?
They sometimes eat their own poo, so I don't really know if that smell of my desperation, desperate packing, really has that big an effect.
Well,
also, I think it—you know what I think it is? It tricks them because they don't even have time. You know, when you take the bag out, they start to get sad because I only take it out literally like 40 seconds before I leave. I feel like I'm shortening their anguish.
Right.
I don't think that it's only then that you give off a scent of desperation. No. Seriously,
you can smell it through the radio.
Shut up, you bastard person. You just not breathe.
What?
Breathing.
What'd I say?
All right. We went into the, as you know, we were in Raleigh-Durham, the heart of, unfortunately, the lowest douchebaggery of douchebaggeries, John Edwards.
Yes.
Oh, dear God.
What was the audience reaction
that's a
to?
Are you kidding? That's a bipartisan. He's a bipartisan
good.
Douche nozzle. The lowest. You know, somehow when you can make Arnold Schwarzenegger and Newt Gingrich look good, you are the lowest level
yeah.
of douchebaggery.
Yeah.
Somewhere Arnold's going, God, what in the... What a total weed.
And these kinds of things.
Things of this nature. Wow. All right, John Edwards.
I take full responsibility for having done wrong.
Well, yeah.
And I will regret for the rest of my life the pain and the harm that I've caused to others.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not break the law, and I never, ever thought I was breaking the law.
Yeah, I'm told that it actually is a weak case, but it's
it
one
is,
of those cases
yeah,
where you don't care.
Well, I think they're just looking
He's
for a settlement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. His attorney, Greg.
No one has ever been charged, either civilly or criminally, with the claims that have been brought against Senator Edwards today.
Yeah, apparently something like this is very, very hard
to
prove.
Yeah. I don't care, he's a douche nozzle. Lisa Maria is healthy as a horse. Just saying. You know what I'm saying? It is literally, it's Newt Gingrich and Schwarzenegger, like, combined.
Mm-hmm.
And worse than.
Schwarzenegger and my Gingrich.
Exactly. He got Schwarzenegger and his Gingrich. Exactly what he did. All right. I just, you know, it's personal for me because we had Elizabeth Edwards on
a couple of times
and I just loved her. And I just hope she's laughing her ass off in heaven. That's all I'm saying. The whole thing is just sad, sad, sad. But anyway. All right. Yeah, I was actually surprised about that, though, the indictment. But we'll see what happens. I think you're right. They're trying to get him to plead.
Yep.
58 minutes after the hour. Guess what's next?
What?
Mondays with Edie McClure.
Hooray!
Live in studio next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com is the Sexy Liberal Show. Thank you, Raleigh, North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Woohoo! Sexy Liberal Mike and Raleigh was there. He writes, Steph, I have one thing to say after seeing the Sexy Liberal Show Saturday at the Durham Performing Arts Center. John Stewart, Bill Maher, Ricky Gervais. Who the are they? Indeed, Mike. I'm writing HBO to get my money back from 30 years of comedy specials. Oh, Mike. Talk with that.
But weren't you in one of those?
No. No. Get your Sexy Liberal tickets. What do you call it? Minneapolis coming up next. We are selling out in venue after venue, so please come see Mama. Get your tickets quick for Saturday, June 18th in Minneapolis is next. Chicago up after that, June 25th, and then we got a whole phase. Boston, July 16th. Santa Fe, August 6th, just sold out over the weekend. Sorry about that. Seattle, October 1st, that sold out. Los Angeles, October 22nd, that sold out. Austin, November 12th, still a few tickets. Buffalo, November 19th, still a few tickets. All right. There we go. Oh, look at this. I'm told we'll have two or three major more announcements today.
Today?
Oh, my.
Not today.
God.
Later this week. Oh, okay. I'm tired. I'm such a wreck. Okay. But thank you anyway. We had a great time. And, hello. Who am I? Why am I here? I'm becoming the Admiral Stockton of my own show.
Stockdale.
Thank God Edie McClurg is here.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday, Monday.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore it.
Edie McClurg.
Good morning, Edie McClurg.
Well, good morning. It's so good to be here just after you've been traveling.
Yes.
Which is what I do Monday.
You always get the very worst of me. Hour three at Monday. Always the very, just running on fumes. That's why you're here to prop me up.
Just like General Stockman Syndrome.
Exactly. Some stale, flargon, fizzing, Dr. Fung Hung Haas. Okay. Sure. Edie, you know why you're here. Because everybody wants Edie McClurg, Sarah Palin, Masterpiece Theater. We, for some reason, we like it when... Do we have some music? We like it when you read Sarah Palin's actual words. This was her history of Paul Revere.
Now, he who warned the British that they weren't going to be taking away our arms by ringing those bells and making sure he's riding his horse through town, send those warning shots and bells that we were going to be sure, and we were going to be free, and we were going to be armed. What did I just say?
Okay. Thank you, Edie. Thank you.
In fact, he did not even shout the phrase later attributed to him. Right. The British are coming. Largely because the mission depended on secrecy.
This has been another edition of WTF Masterpiece Theater.
He probably whispered that in the outhouse at one point. Said, yeah, the British are coming. We got it.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, by the way, speaking of sound-alikes, Jim Mike in Idaho says, Steph, in the MOOCs, is it me or does Eric Cantor look and sound like the principal on South Park?
Okay.
Okay.
No, actually, he does.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I haven't noticed that he has a big Adam's apple, but that's pretty much Eric Cantor right there. I think you're right.
Thank you. That's a good observation. Yes.
Maybe that's why he talks that way. The Adam's apple's getting.
We'll do something about this deficit, okay?
Vocal cords. It's strengthening his voice.
All right. Boy, I thought this was the thing about me taking a picture of my hoo-ha and sending it to people in Raleigh-Durham. But no, it's in
Anthony Weiner.
Wild Beaver Terrorizes Philadelphia is actually the headline. It was not, it's not my Google alert, thank God.
Nothing to do with
it. No.
You're Wild Beaver.
Pennsylvania game wardens remain stumped about the spate of truly bizarre rabid beavers attacks in and around Philadelphia.
Very bad news.
Yeah.
Rabid
beavers. Yes.
Rabies.
Yes.
Rabies in the beaver population. Yeah.
And once again, the Stephanie Miller Show, and in particular, Stephanie Miller apologizes for to the man in the front row whose cell phone camera I borrowed and took a picture of my... hoo-ha, and tweeted it to everybody in the audience. I was a little over-enthusiastic, Edie. You know how it is. When I perform live, I don't get out much, so I wanted to give and give and give.
You know, there's sometimes TMI.
Yeah, I know. Well, I should rename this show that. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of ugly pictures, see, women, at least we have the decency to know that that's just not, that's kind of nasty business. It's not really, I don't know why men think we want pictures of their... It's functional. It's not all that pretty. You know what I'm saying? It's just... well, I mean, what's his name? Brett Favre? Who wants to... A picture of a guy masturbating in Crocs. What woman does he think went, oh, now that is hot?
You know why? Because it's the men's way of thinking. Because men are fine if they get tweeted a picture of boobs without a face attached.
Okay.
They don't care.
Crocs, buzzkill for anybody. If women could get erections, I'd just be like,
men only want body parts, so they think that everyone else just wants a body part, and that's it. That's why.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Yeah. Crocs and cocks. What? what?
Excuse
Sorry.
Me?
Roosters.
Jim Louise.
What?
As you know, I'm barely in control of the show in hour number three on Monday anyway. Please.
Crocs. Crocs.
Let me keep my tenuous grasp on my FCC license, won't you?
He meant a rooster. That's okay. All he meant.
Yeah.
No, we were talking about Piper Palin, that whole thing, Edie, before the break, and I was saying thank God I was too ugly to be used as a campaign prop in my dad's campaign, because we were saying, Jim, they didn't have the David Benders and the fancy political consultants.
Right.
Because they would have looked at that picture and went, you know what, I'd just say you lost that youngest one in like a wood chipper accident or something. I'd just go with that. I wouldn't even mention her again.
So you've never actually said to a reporter back then,
thanks for ruining our vacation.
No, but I have mommy issues. Are you kidding me? My mother once, as I said to Edie last week, my mom did actually go on television and say I was ugly as a child. Once.
Mm.
Yeah, she's not ugly.
Mom.
And then she said, oh, she's had a lot of work done.
Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Wow.
Anyway, doctor, one time my mom went on national television and said I was so ugly, she had to tie a pork chop around my neck to get the dog away with me.
All right, Stephanie, we're out of time for this week.
Yeah. How do you feel about
your
mother?
It's not my fault! Yeah. I looked like an Armenian man in high school!
You did. I was abandoned by wolves and raised by rebels. All right, Stephanie, we'll have to adjust your meds. Thanks for coming. Yeah, you know what? I'll give you a little look-see at some of those pictures sometime.
Ask your doctor if Abilify is right for
you. You have to make
right
sure I'm ready for that. Yeah, Abilify might be,
of course,
might be right
gain
for you.
50 pounds overnight. That's what I understand.
Oh, really?
Oh, boy.
Is that what happened to you? Jim?
Yeah, it's one of the side effects.
Yeah, I got
you. Yeah. My two more liberal sisters were there Saturday night for the show, but yeah, the Republican mom and brother. No.
Computer says no.
We told them there was going to be a, you know, full frontal nudity and, you know,
well,
live sex acts. And it was true. Yeah, we're like, well, you wouldn't like it. Don't, it's okay. Anyway, a good time was had by all, as they say in the theater. By the way, you have a theater thing coming up.
Yes, I do.
It's time for pluggy time. Pluggy, pluggy time. Go ahead.
Well, it's the Improv Olympics Festival going on in Hollywood. And the all-girl review, which is the gals from Second City and myself, because I'm from an old Groundlings area. We are going to be performing Friday, June 10th, this coming Friday night at 10 p.m., the all-girl review.
Here in Los Angeles.
Here in Los Angeles, at the Improv Olympics Theater, Hollywood Boulevard at Cosmo, which is one block east of Cahuenga.
And I'll be performing at the Bruce Sanborn Band Friday night.
Woo!
At Caps in Sherman Oaks. Check
Please,
out Bruce Sanborn.
Tell me I'm pretty before you plug me, won't you? Thank you. All right, speaking of funny women, Glee star Jane Lynch is going to host the Emmys. Did you see that?
Wow.
Yeah,
rock on. I've seen her host a couple things. She's hilarious. She's going to be great.
Yeah.
It
ain't a man's world.
Edie, have you ever...
Is she kind of a man?
Edie Louise the Blurg. She's not. Oh. I'm going to kick you out of the sexy liberal court in a minute. And I'm going to pull the rope up.
That's Bill Mannish girl.
Well, if they're going to go with a woman, they should go with a Mannish woman first, you know, and get people used to it. Usually they
whatever
have a
pisses
guy
the
guy.
Taliban off more, I don't
yes.
care. Now, have you ever
it
been
will.
Have you ever been
That's
written
great.
Out of anything or just killed in various television shows and films?
Well, I was promised a bigger part, And then it just kept getting smaller and smaller because the big part woman wanted more stuff. So they kept giving her my stuff.
She doesn't have mommy issues. She has actress issues.
Yeah.
She has big actress issues. Charlie Sheen's character is going to be written out of 2.5 Men. He's moving to Paris. That's what happens.
Oh.
He's moving to Paris.
Is that what happened to the first Darren on Bewitched? I don't remember what happened.
Oh.
Where did Darren? No, they just never mentioned it.
No.
Yeah.
No. Hello, they Darren.
Exactly.
Now, Darren, who looks nothing like the Darren that we saw yesterday.
Yes.
Did two Darrens die on that show or just one?
No, they just never mentioned it. They just replaced them, and it was like Folgers crystals, and it was just whoop, little switcheroo, and they never mentioned it. There was no mention that it was a different guy.
Well, the middle of America wouldn't have, done very well with that information, would they?
Mr. Wilson went away, too, to be replaced by his brother, Mr. Wilson, who moved in with Mrs. Wilson.
What?
On Dennis the Menace. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Modern Family's Sophia, how do you say her name?
Sophia Vergara.
Vergara. She's embarrassed by her breasts, her big breasts.
Mm.
Thank God. You're fine with them. She said she has a 34 double D chest. She hated her huge boobs when she was a teenager, but now she's grateful for them, but not half as grateful as Jim Warren and other squeezing film pants. I can't ever relate, Edie, to those women. I had and still have like a concave chest. So I'm just like, oh, I hate my boobs. They're so, it's like, shut up. Shut up. I'm just used to, because for some reason, Chris, you can confirm this, a lot of my friends have giant bazongas,
yes.
Right, Jim?
Yes.
Yeah, you've noticed that. Yeah.
And you have the back pain to go with that,
But I'm just used to no one ever looks at me. I'm used to, I remember a friend of mine, we were at a pool once, and a guy said, oh, could you take our picture? And later she goes, he just wanted us to stop so he could look at my boobs. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm just the geek that's with the women with the big. I'm just like,
But the thing is, you don't have to deal with the back pain.
Yeah.
And making large purchases of large boulder holders, which are usually very much
where
more.
Where do you purchase your large boulder holders?
Over the shoulder boulder holders.
Yeah, I go to the big woman department to get my big booby.
We learn something
carriers.
New and magical about Edie McClure every week. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, back with more Celebrity Stack and politics and much more as we continue Mondays with McClurg on The Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Paul writes, Steph, my wife and I had such a great time at the show Saturday in Durham. Pugles thanks Chris Matthews. Impression was hysterical, as was Mama's Piper Palin on the floor. I'm still laughing. Yeah, I did Piper Palin Edie in therapy because she's going to have some mommy issues, I'm just saying. It's going to be a lot of... One time, doctor, one time at bear camp, my mom used me as a bear bait in this cheesy reality show. I'm just saying, it's going to be a lot of years. I know, trust me. I'm in solidarity with you, Piper. Oh, Hal was great, too, but what was with those jeggings? Yeah, Hal Sparks' pants were, like, spray-painted on, practically. Those are the tightest pants I've ever seen.
Oh, are they the spindly jeans?
I don't know. All I can say is, yeah.
You're wearing now?
Yeah, meh.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Hal was in town since Friday, and so God knows, Jim, what happened there. I don't know. When Hal has too much time on the road, you don't know what's those chicks everywhere by the time we got there. He had, like, groupies, so he'd only been there, like, a day.
Yeah.
Mm. He wasn't picking up another gig in a club there, was he?
No, he was doing his Chicago radio show. That's why he flew in a day early, so he could do his WCPT show, our affiliate.
I think those tight pants are part of his full-body condom that he wears at all times.
Yes, yes, just in case. Because if you're a Hal Sparks, you've got to be ready for action at any moment. Seriously. Mm-hmm. And he is.
Too cute.
Indeed. All right, here's the news out of Hollywood, Edie, because I know you like to keep up on the... Lindsay Lohan's ankle monitor has gone off, just if you're keeping track.
On its own?
Uh-huh. She's required to wear an ankle monitoring, an anklet, which I think she'll steal, probably, at the end.
To keep her in the house?
Yeah. And then they'll be like, what? You didn't give me an ankle bracelet. What?
Oh. And it goes off in Pyongyang.
Well, you gave it to me.
Kim Jong-il here every time her ankle brace started to go off. That's why I know she's been a naughty, naughty girl.
You know, celebrity justice here is such bull, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, house arrest, like, well, there's no, it's not even like a drug or alcohol monitoring thing. It just is supposed to monitor.
It's not even your house necessarily. You know, even somebody's house.
She can have anybody come visit. It's like, you know, I don't even, I'm under house arrest by my own. I don't leave. Or I don't, except for now, the sexy liberal thing. Anyway, her monitoring unit went off, and she tried the old, it must be broken. It's, she said that it must be faulty equipment.
Everything is broken.
Yeah. There was a light on that. She had to go get it fixed.
Sure.
Paris Hilton thinks her sentence to community service sucks. the two things, not the one.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that? That's delightful. She said, yeah.
I think that was one of her videos.
She got... sucking... Yeah. The berries, not... Yeah.
Gotcha.
Not the twigs.
Yeah, exactly. The socialite has to complete...
Not the meat.
Thank you, Jim. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. The socialite has to complete 200 hours of community service work as part of her sentence for being caught in possession of cocaine in Las Vegas last year. But on her reality show, she didn't appear very happy after being told she'd have to paint a wall alongside other criminals. She said, am I going to be working with, like, convicts and, like, prisoner people?
Oh, my God.
Because of a little incident in Las Vegas last year, I have 200 hours of community service, and it really sucks. I've never heard that. Maybe I didn't know she was a teabagger, but good for her. I didn't know that. She said that she has.
I think she was
wants...
politically inclined.
I didn't either. She said she wants the new show to reflect a more mature side of her.
Oh.
And she enters a new phase in her life. She said, I'm known as a party girl, and I'm really trying to change my image.
Uh-huh.
Well, then
I'm
just
certainly talking
suck
about
it up
sucking.
And do your community service like you're supposed to.
Talking about sucking, that'll class you up. If you're looking to class up your image, that's a... Speaking of which, oh no, J-Lo has a sex tape? What the hell?
Yeah,
you remember the one. Excuse me, Jim, are you looking forward to this? She has spent the last 2 years trying to get this private tape she made with her first husband on their honeymoon. The judge last week ruled she has no case, so that's good news for you, Jim.
Okay.
Oh. Several porn websites have, they have the bidding wars currently at $40,000, delisted writing. My question is, why doesn't she just pay him off? The jar of whipped dolphin ovaries she smears on her body every day costs more than $40,000. Which I don't know if that's true, but she probably does have the money. Wouldn't you just buy the tape if you were?
But the thing is, they probably made copies after copies of it, too.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
You sound like you know this from experience, Edie McClurg.
No.
So I only made that mistake 3-4 times tops. I was like, okay, I do not think this is just for us. I'm not buying that.
With the lighting guy in here.
Yeah.
And then
I don't think you need a gaffer. No. This is just for us.
No.
All right. Jim, Keith Richards wants his daughter to give up drugs. Where do you get this sort of behavior from?
Gee,
what is wrong with you?
She
was his model Theodora Richards taken into police custody after being spotted writing graffiti on a building in possession of cannabis. And
cannabis is an amateur. That's not even a drug. It's medicine.
Exactly. It's medicine. It's medicine that you take before you graffiti walls.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the spray, you know, that could get to you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. I hate to do, you know, useless celebrity news when we have the white-hot, sizzling, crackling entertainment of Mitt Romney getting in the race.
This is now his economy.
Mm.
And what he has done has failed the American people.
Okay. Yes. If only we could get to number 47 in economies like Massachusetts was when you were governor. That was his record when he was, seriously, he's running as the guy that can fix the economy and bring back jobs. 47th worst economy in the country when he was, now it's much better.
47th with a bullet.
Mm. Woof.
Downward.
Woof, woof.
Yes, all right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with more Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
My life is all about me. Horseback riding and hang gliding and having sex with some of Chicago's many Pollocks.
That's on my list for June 25th at the Sex and Liberal Show. And I am a Pollock, so I can say that. Sexy liberal Pollocks, get ready.
They're lining up right now.
Oh, God. Up on, they're up and down Pulaski. You're waiting for Mama.
All the Grabowskis. Sure. Waiting right there.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Mondays with McClure continues apace. Ivan in Chicago, you're on with Edie. Hi, Ivan.
Hey, Steph. Hey, you know Sarah Palin moved to Arizona, right?
Yes.
Well, she's moving there to enhance her foreign policy experience.
All right, because she can't see Arizona from her house or something. You can't. You know what? Everyone can play.
There was a punchline there, but
everyone can play, Jim. It's part of the whole making fun of Sarah Palin game. All right. So Mittens got in, as we were saying, on and then Rick Santorum today. Are you excited?
Oh boy.
Edie. Uh huh. Yeah, you seem like you've almost dozed off. Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. It's an electrifying. Mitt Romney. Oh, here's, this is, you know what.
I'm guessing he's not sponsored by Starbucks.
No.
Ah!
Healthcare doesn't get him, this will. He said reducing global warming pollution is important. What? You can't believe in global warming and be a Republican. He told voters in New Hampshire that pollution causing global warming needs to be reduced, breaking with Tea Party Republicans who explicitly deny the overwhelming science. Romney said it's important for us to reduce our emissions that cause global warming. Oh, he is toast now. The good news for him, he has not endorsed any actual policies that would actually achieve the goal of reducing global warming pollution.
Oh, well, then he's safe.
Yeah, so he's safe there. He just talks about it. All right, coming off her week-long bus trip, Sarah Palin. She said her non-candidacy is liberating. Whee! Not only do I love my freedom of not having a title of being a declared candidate, that is liberating. I know you can make a difference as an individual. Hopefully I can inspire others to know that you don't need a title. You don't need to be in office to affect positive change. Yes, like positive change in our history, for instance. Just by rewriting it yourself.
You just need to paint a big old bus and drive around.
Mm-hmm.
That's like positive change in that she actually uses punctuation.
How about that? Yeah, it was like the Partridge Family on crack, wasn't it, Edie? It was just, and it all came together when Mom screeched along. Come on now. She also took the opportunity to dial back a critique of Mitt Romney, whom she said on Friday would have a big challenge attracting Tea Party activists because of his history supporting health care.
Health care.
Jim, you know what she did again? She blamed reporters. Yes, she did. Isn't it funny what reporters try to do? Every time she said it, and then she tried to say, I guess it's not a slow news day. Palin has not taken many concrete steps toward a presidential campaign, but don't take any of it as signs that she's lost interest in running, Palin said. No, because she wants to keep that PR train cranking. She said, it's been really great with being with my family on the trail, so the fire in the belly, it rages on after this week and continuing through the summer also, too. She said the fire in the belly will continue through the summer.
Continuing on through the summer, fire in the belly also.
You ruined our vacation!
Wow! Her tour is expected to have at least two more legs coming with swings through Iowa and South Carolina, likely. Oh, good. So we have that to look forward to.
Eight legs like a spider?
Yes. It's a version of eight-legged freaks, her family. Come on. Come on. That's what Rick Overton movie.
Does Rick Overton say that?
No, he was in the movie Eight-Legged Freaks. Yes.
President Obama is beautiful when you're looking at the extremely high unemployment numbers that still aren't coming down as fast as they should be.
Fox News Sunday gets exclusive interview with Fox News employee Sarah Palin. This is just, I was reading this story. Where was this posted? Oh, Media Matters. It's quite the racket they have set up over there. Palin spends a week pretending to run for president while being paid by Fox News, which in turn hypes the coverage of her potential candidacy, even as they stress she's still an employee of the network. At the end of the week, after Palin's non-campaign has been hyped to the point that it's driving actual politicians' campaigns to the margins, Palin grants a ratings-driving exclusive interview to her Fox News colleague, Chris Wallace. Did you see that, Edie? We may have to play this again. This was, 13 is her. She said, I was not wrong about American. He's doubling down.
You know what? I didn't mess up about Paul Revere. Here's what Paul Revere did.
He warned the Americans that the British were coming. The British were coming, and they were going to try to take our arms. So we got to make sure that we were protecting ourselves and shoring up all of our ammunition and our firearms so that they couldn't take it. But remember that the British had already been there, many soldiers, for 7 years in that area. Part of his ride was to warn the British that were already there that, hey, you're not going to succeed. You're not going to take American arms. You are not going to beat our own well-armed individual private militia that we have. He did warn the British.
Shut up, you dummy.
In a shout out, gotcha type of question that was asked of me, I answered candidly, and I know my American history.
Stupidly. Yeah, right. Stupid question. Stupid reporter. Stupid head. Stupid head.
Wow.
Jim, did you want to correct again for the record for the kids that just tuned in?
The militias did want to make sure that they had control of the arms, obviously, because they were going to be needed to fight the British troops eventually. However, he did not go running through the streets shouting and clanging bells and shooting. He quietly told about 40 other people to go out and do the same thing, warn people what was going on so they could be prepared for it. But she's trying to tie it in with the Second Amendment rights, which did not exist yet because the Constitution did not yet exist.
Yes. Thank you.
They were British subjects. They were not Americans.
No, it was a total just suck up to the gun lobby, and it was just hilarious. And then her trying to, I don't know.
And, by the way, by admitting that, she's admitting that the first part of the Second Amendment, which the Republicans want to ignore, in the absence of a standing army, which Washington didn't want, we had well-regulated militias, and that's what the arms were for.
Yeah, well, thank God
she didn't. It's not for numbnuts like, what's his name?
Thank God she didn't. Things would have turned out differently. Giffords. Yeah, things would have turned out differently for our country had it been Sarah Palin instead of Paul Revere. She would have been like, everybody go, I got slide whistle, the British are coming, hopefully I'll be here, and they help the British coming. Clang, 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 those withdraw. She would have brought slide whistle.
Without the first part of the Second Amendment, saying that everyone has a right to own a firearm is insane. You don't allow blind people to drive. Mm-hmm. People who are mentally ill should not be in possession of firearms.
Did you say
thank God it wasn't
people?
Her instead of Paul Revere, and thank God the British had that, the
blonde people.
Did you say blonde?
Blind.
Oh, blind. Okay, I thought you said blonde people.
Some blind people shouldn't drive.
I was saying thank God for that and for the, the British
especially
war strategy,
texting.
Which was the worst war strategy ever, right, Jim? We're going to stand here in big, bright red coats
and march in a straight line.
You will never see us coming. Cowards! Come fight like... Ow!
Let's just all stand in a line.
All right. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning. I hope you had fun in Chapel Hill.
I did indeed.
One of our favorite places. Hello, Edie. Hello,
hey, honey.
Hello.
It's so good to talk to you guys. Listen, I realize that Sarah's not very educated. I know she's anti-science, but there really are medications and good antibiotics for that fire in the belly.
I just got some from Meaty. She gave me some Gas-X because my tummy's a little upset this morning.
Yeah, and there's really good antibiotics, so she can take yogurt, and then the fire in the belly will go out, and maybe she will go the hell away and leave us alone.
Yes, exactly. How do we put out the fire in the belly, Jim, so that we can all get some rest?
Just get some of that yogurt that Jamie Lee Curtis advertised. That makes you poop.
Activia.
Yeah.
Would that help so that we could all be freed from this screeching harridan?
I'm worried about more about the fire in her brain.
All right.
I hope they study her brain when she's gone.
It won't take long.
Never mind.
The Voltron microscope.
That's
not true.
Come on.
Nobody's that dumb.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
Angela in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say, Sarah Palin, don't you kind of have to know American history if you want to be president of the United States?
Oh, golly.
That would probably be a good thing. And everybody complains about, Obama doesn't uses the teleprompter and everything. I mean, maybe Sarah Palin needs to use a teleprompter.
Yeah, that was going to say, that would be sort of a relief for us.
Yeah.
There might be some sort of coherence to her thoughts that we could actually...
Those run-on sentences are getting a little hairy, aren't they?
Yeah, it does just
make
them...
But she would still ignore the punctuation and just go rambling right on through, so it still wouldn't...
She'd say, I'll just wing it. It's better when I just improvise. Yeah, she thinks like she's a groundling or something, Edie. Really upsetting. By the way, as Sarah Palin disappeared history this weekend, Mitt Romney disappeared his health care record. his entire 695-word biography on his website. There's no mention, not a single word.
The dogs ate it.
Dogs ate his healthcare bill.
Let the dogs out so they can eat my healthcare bill. Woof, woof.
Hey, guys, Art in Chicago wants to defend Sarah Palin. Hi, Art.
Hello, Stephanie. Hey, we're talking about Sarah Palin, about the British are coming.
Yes.
Well, Obama doesn't even know we got 50 states. He thinks there's 57.
Yes, I know. Because he misspoke once.
Let's talk about
once.
The issues. Let's stick with the issues, okay?
Okay.
All right.
The issue is she's a dope who doesn't know American history.
Seniors can't even get their money back for their house so they can go into a nursing home. 30% loss every for 2 years now, the housing market's 30% down. The economy's at 1.8%. Uh-huh. You need an 8% just to get the hell out of the hole. Environment, the employment is 9.1.
Yes.
Is he happy about that?
No.
No,
that's
clearly.
That's why he's sticking with Palin.
No, that's why we should have had a bigger stimulus, don't you think?
Yeah, the stimulus worked real good.
And yeah, that's why it should have been bigger, right?
But you know who owns Chrysler?
I know you are, but what am I? Oh,
Chrysler's owned by a German company.
Yeah, the auto industry has come
right.
back.
It had nothing to do with it. And that's
what?
All he can hang
the auto industry
on.
Has come back thanks to the auto rescue.
You make me laugh. Stick to the issue, baby. We're in trouble. In trouble.
Go Art!
I love you, Art.
I love you too, Stephanie.
Right.
That's why I get to talk to you.
All right. Hi, Cracky. Hi, Cracky, young lady. He just, you know what? That just makes his day, Edie. And if I can give that man that kind of happiness,
you give him a reason to get up in the morning.
Exactly. All day long, his poor wife. Did you hear that one?
You hear that?
You hear the singer
show
by Cracky? I told that little liberal gal on the radio. Let me tell you again.
I love Art.
You know, Chevy is owned by Canada.
I picture him looking exactly like Orville Redenbacher. I don't know why.
I think I tied my bow tie a little too tight this morning.
Hey, Cracky, get in here, woman. I want to tell you the story again about what she makes me laugh.
Yeah, I sure showed her.
For just a moment, I thought that was a recording of Jim.
No, he's real. Character. He's real. Art's our favorite.
He's real.
I love you, Art. 46 minutes after the hour, right back with the waning moments of Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Side effects may include loss of clothing, rug burn, shortness of breath, and sore abdominals the next morning. What in the world is up?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
No, not la la.
Yeah, sure.
Learn your Jay Giles lyrics, woman.
They're so deep.
51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Scott in Indiana on our caller Art by Cracky. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I didn't think you'd be able to get me on that fast.
Well, here you are.
Okay, here I am. Well, I just needed to point out one error in his facts. Chrysler is not owned by a German company. They are owned by an Italian company, namely Fiat.
Yes.
Yes. Used to be a German company.
Yes, exactly.
No, yeah, they used to be owned by Daimler, which was German. Right. They're not anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By somewhere, Cracky, he's reading a newspaper from 20 years ago.
Somewhere, Art is screaming at his radio.
By Cracky! As these little whippersnappers!
Okay. This program is his reason to live. Now you lay off him.
All right. Joe in California on Caribou Barbie. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Steph. Pylon, but it finally occurred to me that this is what you get when women in politics.
What's the most important thing in comedy again, Jim?
Timing.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. All right. Sorry about that. Sorry about your cell phone.
Which
okay.
helps if you're intermittent.
It's when the flight's going badly and you can't understand what the pilot is, what the critical instructions he's trying to give you. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, very important that you follow my instructions exactly into the fire engine pit. Hydraulic.
What?
I'm bailing out.
By the way, Jim is working on a version of Chatty Toddler Airlines, which I flew to Raleigh-Durham this weekend. So it's a sister airline of Screaming Baby.
Mm.
Very, very enjoyable. Really. Thanks so much. That family behind me, thanks a lot. Thanks for your little guitar-playing daughter and your little...
They brought toys with them on the plane.
Yes. There's a koala baby changing station in every row.
I didn't know that was allowed to play a guitar on an airplane, and also while your brother has a story, a little joke or something that goes on for roughly
years.
3 hours. Yeah, screaming, crying, and talking, and joking, and, you know, yeah. I think I may go back to Screaming Baby because, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking, and welcome aboard Screaming Baby Airlines. If you are not currently sitting next to a Screaming Baby, a Screaming Baby will be issued to you. We'll be flying at an altitude of 30,000 feet. Should we experience a change in cabin pressure, a Screaming Baby will drop from the overhead compartment. Remember to put the Screaming Baby on your face first, and then put it on the Screaming Baby next to you. In the event of a water landing, your Screaming Baby is also a flotation device. Once again, thank you for flying Screaming Baby Airlines. Flight attendants, prepare the cabin for burping.
Okay, all right. Dang. Now, as I was saying to Art, Jim, and you and I have said before, that I think Paul Krugman was right. The stimulus should have been bigger, is
yep.
what the... Despite the worries about slowing growth, the government has shifted away from economic stimulus and focused on debt reduction, which is exactly what you were
exactly
saying.
Exactly the wrong
back.
Thing. Yeah. That's what they did to Roosevelt in 37, and it stalled the New Deal.
Oh, look at you with your fancy correct history.
Wow.
By the way, many factors holding back the economy, according to economists, such as disruptions to manufacturing from the earthquake in Japan. Mm-hmm. And they think they're temporary, so that may be the good news. But anyway, the president, Friday... The president. On
this
Friday.
Economy took a big hit. You know, it's just like if you had a bad illness, if you got hit by a truck, you know, it's going to take a while for you to mend. There are always going to be bumps on the road to recover.
And by the way, this I'm just playing because it'll make Art's head explode. It's about the American automakers.
All three American automakers are now adding shifts and creating jobs at the strongest rate since the 1990s.
According to this
hate this show.
Newspaper.
Why do I listen?
Paper from 1987. He's dead wrong. And I'll just go to my stack, which reaches all the way to the ceiling, and I'll find a more recent article. Oh, looks like President McKinley was shot.
I think Art, he's a hoarder of newspapers. I think he's just now getting to, Mm-hmm. My mom used to do that. She used to keep it like literally like up to the ceiling. I'm like, Mom, you're never going to go back and read all those. You're just not.
Nobody's going to beat the Collier brothers, though.
She's still knitting me a sweater that she started when I was like 5. I'm like, Mom, you're not going to finish that sweater.
Collier brothers?
Collier brothers were twin brothers who saved every newspaper and magazine that ever came into their house.
Oh, dear.
And it was all stacked on
the
stairs.
Like Mel Gibson movie, Conspiracy.
And so did Daryl, my other brother, Daryl.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Austin Gluglosby.
Don't make too much of any 1 month's job report because they're highly variable. You want to look at a little bit of a trend to get a more accurate barometer. And the overall direction is, yes, somewhat slowed from the stiff headwinds of gas prices, of the events in Japan, of some of the events in Europe. But overall, the last 6 months, we've added 1 million jobs in the private sector.
By cracky, should have been 11 gajillion bajillion jobs.
How much you want to guess the boner is going to say it's about taxes?
The overtaxing, overregulating, and overspending that's going on here in Washington is creating uncertainty and holding them back.
Yeah, too many regulations.
You know who disagrees with him? Ronald Reagan's economic advisor.
Well, there you go again.
He pointed out that high-tax countries tend to perform well economically. He said that returning to Clinton-era tax rates in 2013 would not harm the economy. He said, given the economy's performance in the 90s, returning to marginal rates to their Clinton-era levels in 2013, as Obama proposes, would be a good idea. It's hard to say that would be the kiss of death for economic growth. That was my point about that. See, tax rates were higher under Reagan, and these Republicans, I don't know, the boner.
It's time to get serious about cutting spending and dealing with our ailing economy.
Okay, you are Wrongy McWrongerson. John Boner, one more time.
Here this we week, House Republicans met with the president, urged him to change course and to work with us on our plan for new jobs and economic growth in our country.
Blah.
We hope he'll take us up on our invitation.
Yes.
We're serious about creating jobs in America.
Yeah,
we can't raise taxes on the very people who create jobs.
They do not create jobs.
And keep spending money that we don't have.
All right. Okay.
It's money we would have if we taxed those people you're talking about.
Like Reagan did.
Nimrod.
Okay. Oh, by the way, before we go, let's see. Jason has said, you know what the gotcha question was, Edie?
Hmm.
That Sarah Palin, you know, got tripped up on Paul Revere? What have you been doing during your visit to Boston?
Oh,
wow, that's
no.
a gotcha question.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. You betcha, lame streamers. Edie McClurg, you are delightful as always.
Thank you, dear.
And you will be delightful again next Monday. All right. Thank you.
I promise.
All right. Thank you, Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.